said he is worthy of our praise.
Yes.
He is the undefeated, undisputed champion of the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. So I get excited about Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of people talk about what's wrong in the world today, and what's really wrong in the world today is they need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So a lot of times we get carried away on a lot of things, and we get away from preaching the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and it's the foundation of the church. He is our champion, and he is our king.
Yes.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for allowing me to come to Landrum, South Carolina. Thank you, Pastor Scott and Teresa, for having us here tonight. Thank you from a wonderful team that traveled with us up here. We have our worship pastor, our outreach pastor, Matt Missy. Our worship pastor, I should have skipped over him, did I? Just skipped over him a little bit. But this is Trevor Colburn. He's our worship pastor. Amen. And this guy right here, you know, he's our outreach pastor, but he's also my bodyguard. He travels with me and makes sure that he got my back covered.
Amen.
I feel confident. Nobody gonna mess with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Love him very much. Amen. He was touched by the fire of God and set the world on fire. Amen. Reaching people. Amen. We'll get into that in a little bit. But then my daughter, just fresh back from River Bible Institute for 3 years, our youth pastor, Lauren, and my beautiful wife, Sally, First Lady of the House, bring you greetings from Restoration Outreach Church, Newberry, South Carolina, a church alive and on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, a great honor tonight to have my dad, Melvin Yoder, here, and his wonderful wife, Doris. They live right up the road in a 10-foot Hills Church over just down the way a little bit. It's just an honor always to see my dad. I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for good teaching in my life. Amen. Example of being a godly man. A lot of times we take that for granted until it's too late to tell him. But I'm just going to be telling. I'm going to tell him every time I see him. I'm thankful for you. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you know, the Bible is true. It says if you honor your father and your mother, it'll be well with you.
Yes,
I'm going to turn that around. All you that have been rebellious, amen. It says if you don't honor your father and your mother, it will not be well with you. Amen. I mean, you know, the Word of God works both ways.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm Winston Yoder. I'm pastor of Restoration Outreach Church in Newberry. I've been a senior pastor there for 21 years and traveled many countries in the world. God's given me the privilege to travel some and love to talk to people about Jesus and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
I've seen so many miracles I can't even begin to tell you that our God is still on the throne today, and he's still operating in the supernatural today.
Amen.
And the church that he set on the planet, the gates of hell, still will not prevail again.
Amen.
And you say amen.
Amen.
We are victorious in him. We cannot fail in him. We are not failures in him.
Amen.
Amen. We have already won in him. But we have to continually stay in him. We have to continually hunger and thirst for the things of righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Stay in tune with him, the Holy Spirit of God. This is not my notes, by the way. This is just the introduction. But I want you to understand that what's going on in the world today is supernatural. The Bible says that in the last days that things are going to get darker and things are going to get worse. How many of you ever heard that in church? How many of you ever heard that during that same time there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost and power on his glorious church? That revival will break out at the same time. And I made this covenant with God. The world may get darker and darker, but it will not be on my watch, because we're the carriers of the light of God and the fire of God. If you bring a light into a dark room, darkness flees. It does not overtake the light. Darkness is only an entity if light is not there, present. Darkness is not even an entity of itself. Think about it for a minute. Darkness is not, you can't create darkness until you take light out. Only the absence of light can create darkness. So we got Christians walking around like they have an intravenous tube plugged into some lemon juice or something and wonder why the world ain't going to be saved. We're called to be victorious on fire Christians for God. Amen. We're supposed to be on fire for Him, hungry for Him, a testimony on our lips at all times about how good He is. Amen. He is a good God. He's always good. He don't slumber or He don't sleep. He's always on time. Amen. Always on time. So, well, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, it don't matter what you're going through. It changes not how God is. I hear all kinds of stories. Well, Pastor, you know, you just don't know how tough it is and how hard it is. But my Bible says that Jesus said, come unto me all ye that are, what? Weary and I will give you rest. For my yoke is
easy
and my burden
life.
The best life you can live is a life for Christ. Amen. Get your head up out of the mully grub and say, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm redeemed by the blood of God. The devil is afraid of me. I carry the fire of God. Amen. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on. This is all scripture. I didn't put it all up on the board because I'm just flowing out of the prophetic what God wants to say. As we were worshiping tonight, I seen over this house, I seen a massive bucket held by three angels. And out of that bucket was flowing a trickle of oil. And the Lord says, the hunger of my people would determine how far they tip the bucket. And the oil is unlimited from heaven. Are you hungry tonight for the anointing of God? Are you thirsty for the anointing of God? Amen. Some of us just need a good oiling up in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me slow down and put a foundation in some scripture here. And then we'll flow in the Holy Ghost and see what happens. Amen. I hope you came hungry tonight. My prayer is that every person, from the youngest to the oldest, from the largest to the smallest. Now, we got some big dudes in here, but we got some little people in here too. I pray that everyone be touched by the Holy Spirit of God to go to the next level. Because that's what we're called to do, to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. Hallelujah. First scripture is this in Matthew 3 and verse 11. It's John the Baptist speaking. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who's coming after me, who is this? Jesus. He is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you, submerge you, dunk you down in with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. Now, we hear a lot about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we don't hear a lot about fire. When we talk about fire, everybody says, well, it's to cleanse me, purge me, and everything else. Yes, it is. But when you go crank up your vehicle, if it didn't have fire in it, it would not run. A Christian without fire cannot actually function like they're supposed to under the anointing without the fire. A lamp cannot burn without fire. So the 10 virgins, what happened to those that didn't make it? They ran out of oil. Everybody wants to talk about the oil. But the lack of oil caused what to go out? The fire. I say, Lord, we need your fire. We're hungry for your fire. Amen. It's, oh, Pastor, you better be careful how you pray. You know, the fire of God, it's a real thing. It's an all-consuming thing. Yes, I'm like the burning bush that Moses found. Light me on fire. I will not be consumed. Just burn me, Lord. Let your fire burn inside of me. And I hope this hunger inside of me comes out on you tonight, and a holy hunger for the things of God, that we are the light of the world, that we're on fire everywhere we go. Hallelujah. That we won't shy away and be hid back up in the church somewhere praying. Amen. But we come out of that prayer room on fire, reaching the lost at any cost. Amen. That's what the church is assigned to do today, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means in Walmart. Everybody loves Walmart. Our women love Walmart, and then they say how bad they hate it, but they look for an excuse to go back every day. Our youth group, led by, it's difficult for me to call her Pastor Lauren because she's my daughter, but led by Pastor Lauren, they were in our Walmart parking lot for 1 hour 2 weeks ago and led 44 people to Christ. I said, the world is hungry for what you have, but they're not going to come ask you. You got to go get them. Next scripture, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means that in Landrum, in South Carolina, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth, this gospel must be preached. Amen? Amen. It cannot be hid under a bushel somewhere. It's been hid up in the sanctuary all over this world. But I'm telling you, God's breaking his church out of the sanctuary, out of the four walls of the church. Yeah, listen, if you're a Christian and you love Jesus, you'll be plugged into a church. But that don't mean that you sit in the church and are not effective to the community. You need to be reaching the lost and bringing them to be discipled. That's the way God intended it. In the first six books of Acts, you can see that the church grew daily. Every day they grew. What does that mean? 365 per year minimum. How many churches you've been a part of that grew 365 every year? I said, God's put a new mandate on us that we go get the lost at any cost, that we go after them in Jesus' name. How many of you received a great blessing with revival this week? Amen. What are you going to do with that revival? What are you going to do with the revival inside of you? You see, when God gets a hold of you with his fire, you can't be quiet no more. Amen. You can't be quiet no more. It'll just come out of you. Amen. When you can tell when somebody's touched with the fire of God, they got a different sound up in their spirit. Amen. This man of God right here, he's a good old Baptist boy. How many of you know we love Baptists that get people saved? Amen. He come up in the house and came up for prayer. My sweet wife said, what you need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, at that point, he had a decision to make. Come tell him what happened. It's okay.
Thank you. I'll tell you what happened. What happened was God said, I need a bigger hammer for this man to use. So he chose me. I'm going to get you a bigger hammer for that ministry. And he reached out and touched me because I was, well, neglectful and rebellious. I had spent 17 years on dry wheat toast of religion. And the chains of religion were choking me and my family to death. I was crushed under the weight, the anxiety, the frustration of what the world said was a checklist of the please don't. And if you do, you're risking it all. There was no fire. There was no salt. There was no light. There was nothing but a checklist of to do. Or not to do. This sweet woman of God said, hold up your hand. I almost got it up. And the senior man of the house said with one finger, pow. And I thought my Skechers were going to come clean off my feet. I didn't latch my own seatbelt. My wife touched my own leg, said, honey, you're going to need to buckle up. I said, where are we? 3 weeks later, I've been awakened at night. Christ Jesus, I was so broken with hatred for the world that I thought I was never coming back. And my family was distressed, and I needed more than healing. I needed rebirth, renewed, and set on fire. So much so to the point that before I forget to say it, they don't call me Matt anymore. You know that guy in the neighborhood. They call me Pastor Matt. Outreach Pastor Matt. Go get them, Matt. Tell them, Matt. Show them your king, Matt. Instant in and out of season, Matt. And when they get a little stiff-necked and hard-headed, you know how them guys are. I lay hands on them real slow. Till we come to an understanding in the house that Jesus sits on the throne. He's an Alpha and Omega God. And one touch, just one, that quite frankly, I did not want. My flesh told me don't go. See, if I weren't important to the devil, why is he fighting so hard for me? And if I weren't so important to Jesus, then why did he die for me? Listen to me, church. There's an entire community that when the fire of the Holy Spirit sets inside of you, it becomes consuming to the point that when I said I laid down one night, I got up the next morning because I'd met my wife at home. Is this okay? And I said, why have you been in the bedroom so long? Because there was a sound coming from it. 28 years she's been standing on my six, thick and thin. She says, I've been praying. I said, that's not English. What have we gotten into? She says, you need to have a seat. I said, I've been standing here 45 minutes listening to you. What have we got into? I think this church is crazy, and I'm not sure we're going back. She said, sit down. She handed me her phone. The screen was black. Bear with me, church. She said, mash play. There was a man's voice. Praying with the warrior spirit. And I said, sure enough, I want you to turn that off now. What we done got into here? She said, you don't have a clue, but that's my husband when he sleeps at night. Every ages. Hallelujah. She said, you know, your little girls came downstairs and said, God's on my daddy. Church, I'm here to testify to you that as my wife laid, yes, with the spirit of jealousy, she confessed it. She too wanted a heavenly language, a way, a connecting rod that I had been taught for so many years didn't exist. You know, Acts is a historical book. That I just pedaled away on the tricycle of life and couldn't steer the thing because the Holy Spirit was missing. My prayers was touched the ceiling into the floor. That's if we had not been arguing. Up, down, pedal, but I can't steer. Right, no Holy Spirit, no fire. See the trick of religion? See the trick? I tell you I'm free today because one touch by a senior set man and his precious wife says, what you need is baptism of the Holy Ghost. And out of my Skechers I came, and to the point today that I will not be quiet. I do not get tired. I will not be shelved. I won't be moved. And for my family and my King's name, I will not stand down. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. One touch of the Holy Ghost will change you forever. Not only will it spark a hunger that's everlasting for more of him, but it is the answer that the world's looking for. Right now we're watching a generation that'll try anything to try to fill the void in their heart. They will try anything. I have it all the time. Pastor, would you pray for my kids? They're high. I don't know where they are. They're living with somebody. They're having sex out of wedlock. They're doing all these things. And what they're really searching for is that touch from the Master. That touch. And without the tangible anointing of the Holy Spirit, what we have is a social club. Without experiential knowledge of the Holy Spirit when he comes and when he rests on your heart and changes you and tells you that he's real, his high is better than any high you can get in the world. His love is greater than anything that you can find anywhere else in the world. I was waking up one morning at 2:22 in the morning. I don't know what numbers mean. I don't get into that kind of prophetic thing and try to line up numbers and everything. But there was a holy presence that came into the room in my bedroom. And I squinched one eye. I was afraid to open my eyes because of the holy presence of the Lord. And I looked over at my clock and it said 2:22 in the morning. And I said, yes, Lord, what is it? eyes tight closed, and it was like lights flickering in the room. When the holy presence of God comes, I tell you, it's a real thing. And I laid there, and he said this. I'll never forget these words. He says, I'm turning up the heat, and I'm turning up the volume. Time for revival is now. And it was gone. Just like that. From that day to this day, I spoke that word over our church. In about 6 weeks, about a third of the members left. And I said, well, somebody couldn't handle the heat, bro. Amen. But from that point until now, we have seen our church multiply and grow with the fire of the Holy Spirit. We don't know where to put them. I had to tell them, please, y'all go one family at a time. We can't, am I telling the truth? We can't seat everybody. These are not church membership, church people moving their membership. These are new souls coming to Jesus. And the church has blamed the world for all the abortions that is going on in America today, how hideous it is, and how we pray against the innocent bloodshed and all of those things. But yet the church was the beginning of this because they quit having babies in the church. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking spiritual babies not coming in the house. And we became stagnant in our growth. We think that all of our kids are automatically going to come. No, they don't need daddy's touch. They need the touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Until they have that anointing upon their life, they won't be sold out for Jesus. I'm so thankful that my kids serve the Lord with all their heart. Amen. I'm so thankful for my grandbaby. My grandbaby has a greater discernment about the Holy Spirit presence than most grown people been in church 50 years. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible talks about the children and how sensitive they are to the Holy Spirit. You watch the kids when they get all excited because Jesus is in the house. His presence is in the house. They'll never be the same. Right now, I can pick her up and I say, hallelujah, and she'll just lift up her hand and start speaking. She ain't even 11 months old. But she understands there's something powerful going on in there. Oh, that we would be sensitive like the children. That we would be sensitive. I know I'm kind of off of my subject here a little bit, but I'm not. Because we need that presence, that awesome anointing. Now sometimes it comes and it gives us boldness like Peter when he stood up and preached and all those people came. And other times he just melts us that we can love the unlovable like he did. Ain't that awesome how he can just do that? But he wants his church on fire. He wants his church relevant to this day. Amen. He wants his church in unity with him. Now, we hear a lot about unity. We just came from Panama. They had a whole conference on unity. And, you know, we all know Psalms 133. We all know how the unity causes the oil to flow. That'll preach all by itself. Amen. But I could tell you this about unity. God does not want you plugged into people that do not believe in the power. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, don't debate them, don't go after them, stay away from them. Why is that? Because they will poison your spirit. They will bring doubt and unbelief in your life. Amen. That don't mean that we ain't in unity together. That means if you don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, let's go outside, let's call down fire from heaven, and let's see whose God is God. Amen. The same God that was the God of Elijah is still on the throne today, and he's still answering prayers today, and he's still doing miracles today. Matthew 24 and 14, and then I'm going to go into a prophetic word. And I don't know how we're going to do it and turn it back over or what we're going to do. But the Bible says 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. If you back up to the one that I just read where Jesus said that you'll receive power as the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It's the same word used in the Bible twice, and that word simply means that you have the knowledge of the power, that you have seen the power, that you have experiential knowledge of the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you seen the Holy Ghost move? It's amazing to me that people want to debate me about the Holy Ghost and they've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you ain't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have nothing to say about the Holy Ghost. Experiential knowledge of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They want to get you to seminary and debate all these things about the Holy Ghost. No, how about to those that believe all things are possible? Are we here tonight believing that all things are possible? Hallelujah. I came here tonight to stir up your belief system, to bring you into knowing that you can operate in the supernatural power made available to you. The Bible says that all things, that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. That means you're lacking anything. We're begging God for revival when revival's inside of you. Christ in you is the hope of Landrum. Christ in you is the hope of South Carolina. Christ in you is the hope of this revival all across the world today. Are you ready just to let the oil flow over your life? You need the oil. You need the anointing. You've been put in some hard places and you say, oh God, why am I here? You're there to be the light. You are the answer that the world needs living inside of you. Next scripture. You know the story about the wedding feast? Had all these great friends to the master. I'm just going to say it. Can I say it? All these church people. Been in church all their life. Oh, they're getting ready to go to the wedding feast. They invited to this great supper, but they all got too busy. Well, kids are having babies. Deer season's coming up. Bought a piece of property. Go read it. It's excuses. If you just put it into our language today, you have all these excuses. Well, just running a little short of money, all this kind of thing, all these excuses. And the master, our Savior, our King, was furious that he had prepared such a wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb. He was inviting us to the most precious thing in his possession. He said, listen, don't you worry about them. You go to the highways and you go to the byways and you bid them all to come. You go get them. I don't care if they're strung out. I don't care if they have purple hair, blue hair, whatever they are. You go get them and you bring them into the marriage. You bring them on into the supper. I'll put a robe on them. How many of you know he's the one cleaned them up? But we have to have an urgency for those in the world today. Hallelujah, help me. Would you get on the piano, help me? We have this thing that we sit around and talk about how bad the world is, and the world is crying out for the answer. The whole earth is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God, those that operate in the Spirit of God, those that operate with the fire of God, those that demonstrate the power of God, and those that live a life dedicated to Christ. You see, if you have the fire of God, you have no problem living for Christ. Because every single day, you know you need him. I'm not educated enough to do what I do. It's only by the Holy Ghost. Only by the Holy Ghost. About 3 years ago, right after COVID, we went to Acapulco, Mexico to do a pastor's conference. The year before we went there, they sprayed us down like cattle. Flag is up. It means COVID is rampant today. We're not going to allow anybody to lay hands on. You have to stay 6 feet apart, stand up on the platform, prophesy over the nation, do what you're going to do. And I'm telling you, the fire of the living God come up inside of me. And I stood up and I said, I did not fly 3,000 miles to look at you and speak a word. I'm going to lay hands on every sick person here tonight, and we're going to have revival in Jesus' name. Do you know, in that meeting, somebody that had been crippled for years from a fall off of a building got healed just like that. threw his crutches down, began to walk. People began, miracles started popping and doing it. Why? Because God's not moved by any disease. He's greater than any disease. But he's looking for people that have the fire of God, that walk with the faith to know that he will take care of us. You don't ever have to be afraid to die. Listen, Paul said it. If we leave this world, we just go to what we were created for. Hallelujah. Face to face with the King of Glory. Can you imagine? We can't imagine. I could go into that story of a supernatural encounter I had. I won't do that tonight because it'll take too long. But we came back a year later, and we had this arena, and there was 400 pastors in this arena. 400 pastors. As I got ready for the message that night, our evangelist from our house, Pastor Xavier, I don't know if y'all met him or not, Pastor X, we were there ministering together, and I was to go first that night, and we kind of flowed together. Lord laid a message on my heart about how he restored Peter into ministry. Because Peter had denied the Christ. As I began to preach that message on the beautiful one sentence that God, that Jesus used to restore Peter, he simply asked him this, Peter, do you love me? Five of the most beautiful words. That's what he's asking you tonight. That's how I preached it. Many of these pastors had lost their churches because of COVID. They lost their buildings because they couldn't meet. They felt like a failure. They were throwing in the towel. Their marriages were falling apart, and they were quitting the ministry. I didn't know all that, but as I preached that message, all of a sudden there was like a cloud of glory that swept over that place, and all 400 of those pastors, including the hosting pastors, just slid out of their chairs on their knees. There was no altar call, but the Spirit of God was mending their heart. So many of us think that we don't qualify because of what we've done. And the question that God asks us is this, do you love me? Do you love? If you just love me, I'll restore you. 1 John 1:9 gives us a way out of sin. If you repent, I'll cleanse you. I'll cleanse you. So many times we carry these hurts and we carry them, but it's not God that's put that burden on us. He wants to restore you. And I want to tell you, this is one of the most beautiful meetings I've ever been in. I just stood at the altar and wept as God began to touch his men and women of God. It changed my whole life and the whole way I ministered. I used to have all these notes. God help us. Got enough notes to preach till Jesus comes back and still wouldn't get back through them all. And the Lord began to show me there's nothing wrong with studying and notes. When you get behind that pulpit, you listen to what I have to say, and you say that. Because nothing could take the place of what God was doing with those pastors and leaders. Now I see them on Facebook, laying hands on people in the street, having crusades on their own. All these pastors on fire for God. Why? Because God restored them with the truth. Amen. And I got to be a part of it. Ain't that awesome? He wants you to be a part of what he's doing today. As I was in Panama this last time on Sunday morning, it was a rainy season in Panama, and it just rained and rained and rained, and the van that was supposed to pick us up on Sunday morning, it was an hour and a half away, one-way trip down to the churches where we were ministering. We had a pastor's conference 3 days, and on Sunday morning, we were supposed to spread out in the churches. So Sunday morning came, and we got a phone call. The van's not going to be able to make it. We're just not going to be able to make it today because the van's used to carry church members back and forth and just not going to be able to make it. You're on your own till lunch. Anyway, I was like, it's just weird for me not to be in church on Sunday. Not that I had to preach or anything like that. I just love being in the house of God on Sunday morning. And I was moping for about 5 minutes. What are we going to do? I was even searching on Google, Spirit-filled church close to this hotel, within walking distance. And the Lord says, I want you to go up into your room, and I want you to intercede for the rock, and I'm going to give you some things to write. So I went up in my room and began to pray, and the Lord gave me this word in Panama, July 21st, it's a couple weeks ago. The Lord says, now it's time to raise up Joshua and Caleb's. This is the time I'm taking my people to new heights and conquering regions and lands in the spirit that have not yet been conquered or experienced. Remember, in the spirit. This generation, not age-related, of warriors were designed and destined before the foundation of the earth to live in this day and hour and operate in the fullness of the spirit to usher in Jesus the King. Most leaders regard them as difficult and rebellious, but I have put a different spirit in them that will not compromise or give in to religion and status quo because they are hungry for more, more, more. You better get ready because they're coming. They'll tear the doors down if the life is flowing in the church. I have put a holy disdain inside of them that goes against religion and tradition that makes my word void. They'll challenge the status quo of church. This generation, not age related again, is not moved by religion or religiosity or the pharisaical spirit, but will challenge that spirit like the prophet Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and they will call down fire and glory. In other words, they will demonstrate publicly the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They'll people get saved and delivered, set free and healed in Walmart parking lot. Amen. In the Ingles parking lot or wherever you are on your workplace, you're going to see this begin to happen in this anointing and in this day. While most leaders try to calm them down, I have anointed you to train. This is a word more for me, but it's for the leadership of the house. While most leaders try to calm them down, I have anointed you to train and release them as Moses trained Joshua. This is about staying in the presence and under the cloud of glory, and nothing else will do. Amen. Not about training them how to preach, how to teach, no, how to stay in the cloud of glory. You know, God tried to show us that in the Old Testament when he led his people by what? A fire by night and a cloud by day. The two things that you need in your life is the glory cloud and his fire. Amen. They shall be trained that self-promotion will restrict the anointing that they carry, so they will begin to move as one, promoting the Holy Ghost in fire, not themselves. Always lifting up and glorifying Jesus in what they do. Esther and Miriam, the sons and the daughters, will rise up with them with a prophetic tongue and a prophetic song and a boldness this world has never seen. They will walk and work together as one. Their connection will be from the oneness with the experiential knowledge of the Holy Ghost and fire. They will shake cities, states, and nations with the word of God, the presence of God, and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. I believe I'm talking to some of those nation shakers tonight. I believe that I'm talking to a group of people that will open their heart up to carry a greater anointing to shake this nation. Some of you got babies and grandbabies that are looking for this very fire right now. They may not be here tonight, but your prayers will be heard by the Father. You just get them into the anointing of the Holy Ghost and watch God do a work in their life. This army will conquer religious strongholds that have held my church back for decades, says the Lord. Hello. You do know it's religious strongholds holding the church back, not the devil. I say this, to hell with the devil. The devil is completely and totally 100% defeated and under our feet. Luke 10:19 said, "Behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." Not scream at the sky to scare serpents and scorpions, but to trample them. "I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." What are you afraid of? One day we'll stand up there and we'll look at that devil, that old defeated foe that thought he could defeat Jesus, amen. And Jesus just defeated him, said, "Give me the keys, boy," just before he knocked his teeth out and drug him through hell in front of all of his cohort. Amen. I am sick and tired of churches promoting the devil. "Oh, the devil made me do it." Oh, my goodness. We got the devil just, no. If the devil is around your kids, it's your fault. Because he's given you the authority to kick him out. Amen. Take authority. Be the light. The devil's kind of like roaches. If you leave a place dark and untended, guess what happened? Roaches come. Bugs come. Serpents come. Scorpions come. What happens when you flick the light on them? Woo! They're gone. You got to run after them to stump them. Amen. The devil is so afraid of spirit-filled Christian, he is trembling in his boots when you wake up in the morning. I want you to understand that, because lest you understand your position in Christ, you'll never be victorious and carry the torch of the fire of God. Hallelujah. We got people all over, and I get in trouble for saying this sometimes, because I'll just tell you like it is. You ain't fighting no devil. The only thing you're fighting is what you're seeing in the mirror. Uncrucified flesh, and they want to blame it on the devil. No, the devil did not make you sleep with your neighbor. That was you. The devil did not make you take that other drink. It was you. You made a conscious decision. Until you take responsibility, you can't repent. The reference of conquering religious strongholds is, if you want to look it up, write it down, check it out, is Hebrews 12:25-29. Talks about everything that's going to be shaken, that so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. I'm telling you, this army, referenced in Joel chapter 2, will not be shaken. The Bible says, "I will pour out my spirit on through them without measure." This is still part of the word. "No man will be able to debate them, for this army has been called and equipped by me, says the Lord. Train and release them. Don't hold them back. Don't try to put them in a box. Let them go. They look different." Amen. How many of you know Matt looks different than me? But I can tell you something about this man of God right here. He could go into places and reach these warrior people that won't talk to me. If I go start talking Churchianese and all this kind of thing, they won't listen to me. Next thing you know, they'll be huddled up to Matt over there crying. Big grown men. Grown men. How many veterans we got in the house today? We got some. Thank you so much for your service. But there's so many of our veterans in this country right now that are hurting and bleeding, and they've had assignment after assignment all their life. They knew what they were going to do from morning till night, and they get out of the military, and they come back home, and they don't know what to do with their lives. They're hurt, they're wounded, and the church has no place for them. They say, "Yeah, we got a place for you. Stand out there and hand out these programs while the people come in and tell them hello." No, we got to put their hands to something. We got to train them that they're warriors in the kingdom. Amen. That they go help those that are in need. That they go call them and sit by a campfire and tell them, "Listen, you don't have to end your life. What you did over in those places that you were sent is okay. Just repent for those bad things. God still loves you." Train and release them. Boy, we've had a trouble with that. Releasing. You know why? Because we've had some chaos we had to clean up when we tried to release. You know, sometimes a little wildfire is better than no fire. You know, if you're solid in who you are in Christ, you can put out that little wildfire. Amen. The water of the Word of God will take it right out. Amen. Train and release them. Lay your hands on them and prophesy. Ezekiel 37. Impart what I have imparted to you. This end time move of God is not about what you know, because knowledge puffs up and God resists the proud. But it's about what you catch from the Holy Ghost and what you're hungry for. I believe we're hungry tonight. Are you hungry tonight? God wants to pour himself out without measure to each and every one that's here, to your families, to your community. He wants Landrum on fire for Christ. He wants this state on fire for Christ. We know the state of the world out there is terrible, but the state of the church has to come up with the light, has to shine the light in this day. We can't make excuses. It ain't the Republicans or the Democrat. It's the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Can we just be the church with the light and the fire of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you just lift your hand to heaven, Father, I ask you tonight that you would pour out the oil, the balm of Gilead to every hurt and every wound. Pour out your anointing in a fresh measure to every vessel so that we're overfull, Lord, filled to the brim and running over. David said in the Psalms, my cup runneth over, Lord. Oh, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I pray right now you'll fill our cup. Just fill us up, Lord, right now. Let the oil flow. I see the bucket tilting right now to those that are hungry. Right now you'll begin to feel the anointing of God come upon your life. Some of you think you don't measure up right now in the name of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus and what the price that he paid, you measure up. Not one of us in here measures up by our own merit. Not one single one. We can't pray enough. We can't fast enough. We can't bow down enough to please him. But we can trust and believe that the price that Jesus paid was enough. Was enough. I say tonight, freedom for some of you that have been held back by things in your mind right now. Right now. I feel the peace of God in this place. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing, fresh fire, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, to every hungry heart, to every hungry heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense that we're in a holy moment. Just begin to tell him how awesome he is and how hungry you are for more of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're hungry tonight, Lord. We're hungry tonight, Lord. We want to be the Ezekiel 37 army. We want to be Joel chapter 2's army that rises up, that don't break rank, that runs through walls and takes territory. Help us to be the church on fire. Help us to be the people of fire. Help us, Lord, to be unashamed of the Holy Ghost in fire. I pray, Father, tonight that in this hunger that we're hungry to love you more, to have a greater experience with you, Lord. I know our emotion does not move you, but when you come, we can't help but be emotional. Us in our weakness, Lord. Strengthen us with your strength. Your word declares that when we're weak, you're made strong. Hallelujah. Some of you have been trying to do it in your own strength. I feel that right there in the spirit. And we're trying to do it in our own strength. Lord says, just let me do it. Pastor Scott, I hear the Lord saying, just let me do it. Just let me do it. Trust me, I'll do it. Just let me do it. Take a deep breath and let me do it. He's going to do it. He's going to tilt that bucket up over this place. And there'll be a fresh anointing on this house like it's never seen before. See this. We got to come be a part of this. That's what's going to happen to this house. In Jesus' name. You better get ready. Momentum and acceleration is upon this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad to be part of this house? Amen. You better get ready. Now see, in the church circles, everybody thinks the shepherd ought to go get the sheep, but shepherd don't go get sheep. The sheep go get the sheep. Go get your family. Tell them you need to come see what God is doing. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a sweet spirit in here. God's asking you to take over Landrum. You're not here just to hide up here in the church, but to take over this region for the glory of God. Hourglass is like in the last hour. Even if we have an hour, if you understand prophecy, we don't have time to go into that. We know we're living in the last day. Every prophecy in the Bible says we're in the last day, in the last hour. Jesus could come back in the morning and not apologize to anybody. Hello? How do you know when he decides to come back? Every family member you have that don't know Jesus is done. Come on now. There is an urgency coming on the church to win the lost at any cost. Go get them. My God, the Bible says, like we just snatch them from the fire sometime. Deserve to hear the truth. So I challenge you tonight. You've been in a week of revival. Don't just carry it in your cup. I pray you splash it out to everybody you come in contact with. Every person. I'd love to lay hands on all of you, but I don't know if we had time for that or what we're going to do.
When you were speaking, just these images were coming to me as you hit them, and I know you do because you're more familiar with them than I am because you're very prophetic. What happens when you put oil on a fire? Right. So what happens when you put oil on a fire? So I'm going to go back to day one with Bert. Faith is the substance. Substance. I mean substance. Like, this is substance. Without this, it's not substance. It's just a word spoken over you. This is an act of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you know what the word hope in the Bible means, actually? Expected. Faith is the substance of things that are expected. So, you said, and I'm going to put my faith in that, right? It's substance. You said that you saw oil dripping down upon, and it was up to us whether we were going to receive it or not. The bottom line of how much you're going to receive, right? So an act of faith is substance. It's taking that step that says, I believe, and then it's making the move, right? So if you don't mind, it was your word. There's enough oil in here, right here. If you want to take that step to receive the substance of what has been spoken prophetically and expected in your life, then allow this man of God to touch you with just a drop. Just a drop is what you said. I'm just repeating what's been said. A drop of oil as representative physically, first in the physical and then the spiritual, right? Isn't that what it says in the Bible? So in the physical realm, you're going to receive a drop of oil on your forehead. But in the spiritual realm, if you come expecting, then look out as the days unfold ahead of you. That boldness, that desire to win the lost for Jesus Christ is just going to happen. That infilling, right? If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean you're done. One and you're done. God says to be regularly, daily infilled with the Spirit of God. So this touch can be just an infilling for some of you. For some of you, if you've never been touched before, this is going to be your first touch. But I'm going to ask the ushers to come and some of our guys to just kind of stand here, and we'll get this thing out of the way. And then we're going to just start from over to from the this side, my right, your left. If you want, you can make your way around this way. And if you want a touch from this man of God who's just spoken a prophetic word over us and not that drop of oil that's going to multiply in the days ahead, then you just come.